thankful for a lot of things. We talked about this morning a lot about some things that's going to be in our message this morning. As always, I desire your prayers that the Lord would help me to get over to us what he has for us this morning, and that souls would be blessed, and that hearts and minds would be open to what thus saith the Lord. The message is about God's blessings, and it's not so much about his blessings as it is about what we do with them. So it's not what you have, it's what you do with it. It's what I want to be thinking about when we're going through the message this morning. Again, please pray for me. All right. In our Sunday school, we talked about several people in the Bible where God, they would be on the run from the enemy, or they would be in a place where they were in need of physical sustenance, food and water and things of that nature. And God would send like a bird, and he'd come and he'd drop off meat and bread, and then he'd find water where there wasn't supposed to be any water. And I want us to remember that when we are in need of God's blessings, I want us to think about that. Do we believe, first of all, do we believe that that happened? And if we do believe that that happened, then there are several things to think about when we're thinking about that. For example, how did the bird know what to go get? And then how did the bird know where to find the person? And begin thinking about all of those things that go into what God had the bird do for us, and then how does that apply to my individual situation? In other words, God, he knew exactly where that prophet was, that brother Elijah, and the many different others. He knew exactly what they where they were, what they needed, and he instructed an animal that the birds ain't worried about us in the least. Birds is not worried about us. The only thing a bird might do, if we get close to something that they don't like, they might start attacking us like that or drop something on our head that we don't want dropped on us. But birds is not worried about us. But God is able to go, and he's going to be able to talk to that bird and say, go feed my son, my daughter somewhere they're in need. And I want you to go get this and go bring it to them so that they can be sustained. God has been blessing us in that way since before we were ever thought of. God has provided for us, I'm talking about saved and unsaved, since before the beginning of time. God has been blessing us. And so it's not so much that, and I think it's hard for us to get our minds wrapped around the fact that God is blessing us, and then it's hard for us to wrap our minds around the fact that God wants to bless us even more, because we have an enemy. And that enemy's job, one of the enemy's main job, is to convince us that God doesn't love us, and that God is not good to us, and that he doesn't bless us, and that he doesn't want to bless us. And so what he does is he causes us in our minds to minimize God's blessings. We don't even know what we have. Matter of fact, one place in the Bible, the children of Israel were murmuring, complaining about things, and so God sent them a bunch of manna. And they, either it was the meat or it was the manna. Manna is a type of bread. Once he sent a bunch of food, because they were hungry, then they got manna, which was the type of food that they could get. And so he sent them a different type of food. They got upset about that. That's the thing that we as humans, we don't value what we have. Half the time we don't even know what we have, because we haven't looked into what God's blessing is and what it is to us, and how we're supposed to use that to glorify him and to be a better Christian. We don't even know what the blessing is. We don't know where it comes from. And we don't value that blessing like we should. We talked about this morning about life and health and strength. We talked about a sound mind. Those are God's blessings. Those are things that we all have right now today. The fact that we can be in service and hear something from the Lord. If I did nothing but get up here and read the Bible verbatim, that would be a blessing from the Lord. Everybody doesn't have that. Everybody hasn't historically been able to have those blessings. There have been people that wanted to serve and live for God, and the police of that time, of that area, would come in and start killing folks. There's people right now in countries that want to live for God, and they don't have those blessings. What is the blessing that God has given me, and what am I doing with it? We got to identify what our blessings are. Find out what it is. Find out what the value of that blessing is. Everybody has blessings that everybody else has, and then we all have blessings that God has given to us specifically. God does not bless you and I so that we can say, "Woo, I'm so blessed. Thank the Lord." That is not the only reason why God blesses you and I. If God gives you a blessing, he wants you to do something with it. And so it's not just the blessing, because God, think about it now, the same one that has blessed us with everything that we have already, he ain't got no shortage of blessings. He can bless you and I with anything that we need and anything that we want if he so desires. The real blessing is me seeing the value of that blessing and then using it like God wants me to. That's the real value of the blessing. All right. I want to read a few scriptures. Turn with me to John 14 and 21. In this scripture, it's talking about God's blessings. All right, John 14 and 21 reads, "He that hath commandments, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." The word blessing is not even in that scripture, is it? This is talking about God's blessings. He's saying if you know God and God knows you and you love him and he loves you, not only will you know him, but you will know of him and be blessed of him. And it is a blessing just to know God. Think about the one that had an opportunity to know God and wasted that opportunity to the point where they left this earth without knowing God. Remember in the Bible, Lazarus and the rich man? The rich man said when he lifted up his eyes in hell, he said, Let me go back and tell everybody else about God's blessings. Let me tell everybody else about how good God is. Because they don't know. But we sit here today on January 2019, and we have all the access we want to God's blessings. What are we doing with that? He said, if you know me and I know you and we have a relationship, not only are you going to be know me, but I'm going to open myself up to you. And I'm going to show you everything that you need to know. And I'm going to lead and I'm going to guide and I'm going to direct your life. And you will never be in want because you know me. The biggest blessing that you and I can have is a relationship with God. That's the biggest blessing. Because now we are in contact with the one that not only supplies all of our needs, but he supplies them according to his riches in glory. So the first thing I have to do is make sure that I have the ultimate blessing, and that is take advantage of salvation. I've got to have salvation. If I'm not saved, I got to get saved. If I'm already saved, then I've got to value that blessing above all others. God help us. The biggest blessing anybody can have. If you ask any child or anybody in the world, they're going to start talking about how much money they would have if I won the lottery. I buy this house and these clothes. Listen, that is not the blessing. The blessing is a relationship with God. All right, moving forward. In Psalms 84 and 11. We're talking about God's blessings, not only God's blessings, but we're talking about what we do with God's blessings. What are you doing with God's blessings today? God gave you health and he gave you strength. He gave you a sound mind. He gave you a vehicle to get to service. Are you even awake? Are you paying attention to what God has blessed you with? Are you taking advantage of the word of God this morning? Do you take it with you when you go home? And do you meditate on it? Do you read his word? Do you open your heart and your mind to what God has for you? How are you going to get to heaven and you don't even spend time with the Lord down here? Psalms 84 and 11 reads, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." No good thing. So here's the question. If it's bad, do you want it? Nobody don't want anything bad. Anybody want a headache? Cold, flu, anything like that? No. A bad car? No, we don't want any of that. We want good things. Excuse me, from the Lord. Right here in this scripture, it's telling me that if I walk uprightly, which means righteously, which means that I'm going to have a relationship with God in order to do that anyway. I've got to be saved if I'm going to walk uprightly. That means I have the access to all of heaven and everything that it entails. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. First, I got to get saved. Then I got to maintain my salvation. If I'm doing that, then this scripture applies to me today. What is it that I need? What blessing is it that I need? Is it peace of mind? Is it a financial nature? Is it an emotional nature? Spiritual. Whatever it is that I need, God has that for you and I if I'll meet the condition. The problem is I don't want to meet the condition, but I still want the blessing. God help us. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Lord help us. Turn with me to Malachi 3 and 10. All right. "Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. For I will not open you the windows of heaven. I'm sorry. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So are we talking about, when we talk about tithes, are we talking about our money? What are we talking about? When I give to God, that means money is the least of what I'm giving to God. When I give myself to God, then money is included. Yeah. And everything else that I have is included. It's not mine anyway. You want to know how you know it's not yours? Because anybody that enters that grave, whatever they had, it don't go with them, does it? So how could it be yours in the first place? It's not mine. What I am to do when I'm talking about time, I'm talking about giving myself to the Lord in such a way that anything that I have is His. My mind, my strength, my time, my life, my love, I give to thee, my talents, time, and all. Yeah. I'll serve thee, Lord, thine own to be. Yeah. I'll hear thy faintest call. Whatever God gives me is a blessing. Yeah. But what I'm to do with that is to value it and then give it back to Him in a way that He can use it to be a blessing unto somebody else. God does not give me things so that I can just be selfish. He gives it to me so that I can be a blessing to somebody else. All right, it says here, the second portion of this scripture says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven, and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Yeah. That seems like that's almost too much to bear. Yeah. you just going to be full of blessing. You ain't going to know what to do with it. This is God. This is what He's letting us know. If we give ourselves to Him, if we give our all to Him, this is what He is promising to bless us with and to return to us. I talked about earlier about how some people, and this is not anything new. Turn with me to 1 Kings 17. All right. Some people, for whatever reason, and again, this is just what people do. Lord help us, myself included. We don't value what the Lord gives us. And we don't understand that if we don't value it, then He might take it away from us and then it not be ours anymore. I'm going to read 1 Kings 17, but before I read that, I want to read in Genesis 25 and 23. Y'all keep 1 Kings 17 and 7. All right, so this talks about, when this is a familiar story, this is Brother Jacob and Brother Esau. All right, and I'm going to go up two verses to verse number 21. Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren. And the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah his wife conceived. And the children struggled within her, and she said, if it be so, why am I thus? And she went to inquire of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separate from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the mother shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like an hairy garment, and they called his name Esau. And after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. The boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter, a man of the field. And Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents. And Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob. And Jacob sowed pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me. Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore to him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. A birthright is an inheritance. So if there was a king back in the day, the oldest child or the eldest male child, he would get the kingdom if the father was to pass away. In spiritual terms, what we're talking about with a birthright, we're talking about salvation. And everybody has access to this birthright. But what happens is we don't value what we have. And so for a temporary pleasure, we will sell our birthright. Things come up in life and we say, you know what, this is too much. I don't like doing this. Being saved is too hard. I've made some mistakes in my life, and so the mistakes that I've made has made my heart more difficult than I think it should be. So I'm gonna sell my birthright, and I'm gonna go another way, and I'm gonna suffer because of it. We have to understand that salvation is to everybody. And because Christ died and rose again, that means that you and I, every last one of us, have that ability to gain, maintain, and make heaven our home. But the enemy, what he's trying to do is make situations so hard and so difficult on us that we forget not only the blessing of salvation, but all of our blessings in general. And we began to focus on the here and the now and the things that are not eternal. We began to focus on things that are going to be temporary. They're going to pass away when we leave here. And because of that, we get caught up in those types of things and we end up losing our eternity-bound soul. If you'll notice in verse number 13, Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do unto me? He's talking at the time. You think he really was finna die? He's negotiating getting some food. What happened was he went out in the field, did too much, got tired, came back. He was hungry, but he wasn't gonna die. The devil likes to make you and I think that if you don't get some relief immediately, you are going to die. It's going to be bad forevermore. So therefore, you need to just forget what you're doing for the Lord and go for self. So Esau said, behold, I'm at the point to die, and what profit shall the birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. The enemy is doing this all the time. I don't have the husband that I like, so and we don't get along. We have irreconcilable differences. So therefore, I'm going to forget about what God's word said and go get me another husband. I'm going to forget about what God said. I'm going to get me another wife. It could be something as simple as God told me to do something, and I'm just not going to do it. I'm going to disobey the Lord because what he's asking of me to do is something that I don't want to do. God help us. Don't sell your birthright. Sell everything else, but don't sell your birthright. That's your ticket. That's your key into heaven. That's your key through this life. If God didn't help you to this point, you wouldn't be here now. It's God's mercy that we're here now. And so don't sell your birthright. Ask God to help you to humble yourself. Ask God to help you to wait a little bit until you get fed what it is that you think you really need to be fed. God said he's going to take care of us. He promised to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. God would have sent a, if it was that bad, God would have sent a bird to feed Esau. God is going to take care of us. But don't forget about God's blessings and don't sell your birthright. It says here in the last part of scripture number 34, then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. He didn't understand the value of it. Then when we do those kinds of things and we get ourselves in a situation where we're without God and we get into some difficult situations, then what are we going to do then? Who are we going to call on? Where's our help going to come from? Something that is scary to me is being in a situation where I know that I'm about to die and I don't have God on my side. That's just a situation I don't want to be in. I can be in a situation about to die, but not without God on my side. What is so important in the here and now that I'm willing to sever my relationship with the great God of heaven? What is so important? God help us. What is the blessing and what am I doing with it? It's a blessing to be here today. It's a blessing to have access to the Word of God. It's a blessing to have access to salvation. Not only after that, God is as promised to be with us, to help us to will and to do of his good pleasure. So not only does he save us, but he keeps us in salvation. And that wicked one toucheth him not. You see what I'm saying? So I can't lose if I want to. All I got to do is value the blessing. I got to recognize the blessing, value the blessing, and be what God would have me to be in this life. And he's going to help me to do that anyway. One of the things that's scary as a minister is you get all this information, right? And you got to read your Bible more, and you get a lot of, God talks to you. I mean, he just talks to you. Out the blue, it don't matter, you can be doing anything. He just start talking to you about something. I got to go to heaven too. And I ain't got no excuse nowhere. So God help you and I to take advantage of the blessing. Know what you got and then take full advantage of it. All right, 17. So it's in First Kings 17 and 7. I'm almost finished here. I want us to see how God does those that value the blessing. All right, so 17 and 7, First King, and it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. So Elijah was on the run again, okay? And the Lord had been taking care of him. He had been sending him food and watching over and making sure he had drink. So in verse number 7, we pick up, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. Remember, Elijah had prayed that it not be rain, and it stopped raining. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, and which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse number 10. So he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. I want to pause there. Remember this, if you don't get anything else out of the message. Know the blessing, value the blessing, Not only that, but obedience, faith, and the trial is the blessing. Obedience, faith, and the trial is the blessing. Remember that Elijah was in a place where only God could take care of him. But he was in that place because of his faith and his obedience unto God. And then in these scriptures that we're reading, God sent him to a place. Again, by faith and through obedience, even in trial, he was showing who he was to God. He wanted to obey God. He wanted to be faithful to God. So when God said go, then he went. We don't know if he knew where God wanted him to go in the first place. We don't know if he had ever been there in the first place. All we know is God told him to go, and he did. Yeah. Now, when you drop down to the widow woman is doing something at the time. That's important. She could have told him, first of all, I don't even know who you are. Who are you? Is that what she did? No. When he told her to go get him some water, she recognized that this is a man of God, and she was on her way to go get him some water. All right. Not only that, so she was showing the faith and obedience at an early stage in this lesson. All right. And it says here, and she was going to, as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. Verse number 12. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. Yes. Now, there's the trial. Remember, I told you, trial, faith, and obedience. Yes. So this woman was in a situation. Now, you listen, you ain't finna get no woman to do nothing when it comes to her and her kids. Yes. Unless you got himself, then you ain't come between no woman and her kids. She's going to take care of them kids, isn't she? Yes. All right. So she had to have faith. She said, listen, Brother Elijah, I only got a little bit of a meal. I only got a little bit of whatever it is that I need. I'm going to make it. And then once I make it, we're going to eat it. And then we're going to starve. Because I don't know where my next meal is coming from. Yes. Now, that is a trial. Yes. That's a test. All right. And Elijah said unto her, verse number 14, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. Now, how many of us would be like, Brother Elijah? What we'd have told you? I was already getting you water, but you're doing too much. You ain't finna get my last little food here. This is all I got. God is going to put you and I in situations where our faith is going to be tested. What are we going to do in those times? Who made the meal? Who made the oil? Yeah. The water and everything else. Who made that? Yeah. God got what it is that we need. Do I have the faith and the obedience and the humility to go through this trial that he's got me going through? Or am I going to turn back on the Lord when it gets difficult? Lord, help us. All right, fear not, and go and do it as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first. Bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Still got to have faith. I don't know that. You understand? Faith isn't, the thing about faith is not what you can see. I know this is a man of God. I believe what he's saying, but I don't have it. It's not right here. I can't put my hands on this oil that he's talking about is going to be there, and I can't put my hand on this meal that's not going that he's saying is going to be here. So I've got to exercise faith. I've got to exercise obedience in this situation, in this trial, in this test. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And what did she do? She obeyed, and she exhibited her faith. She went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. How is that possible? And my question to you is, what is the blessing? Is the blessing the eating many days? That's part of the blessing. But is it the blessing, though? You think God, listen, with or without faith, God can feed you. He feeds us all the time. Whether I got faith, whether I give God thanks for my food or not, most people is eating all the time. The blessing is recognizing and realizing who the blesser is and having a relationship with the blesser. That's what God is wanting to get to you and I. This everything is based on this right here. The trial is for us to get to know the Lord. And once we get to know the Lord, then we get to exercise our faith and our obedience and our confidence and our trust in him. And that is a way bigger blessing than the food that he gives me in my mouth and the clothes that he puts upon my back and the shelter that he puts above my head. That's the biggest blessing is that relationship with God. Because that'll carry me through anything. A pillar of smoke by night and a pillar of fire by day. He'll be with us regardless. If we put our faith and our confidence in God. But we get mad at the trial. Man, I'm sick of this trial. I don't want this trial. Well, how are you going to have faith and obedience? When the next trial comes, the harder, the bigger trial, how are you going to be able to trust God and have faith and obedience in that if you can't trust God in this little old bitty trial that I have you in? It's what God is saying to you and I. The blessing is the trial, the faith, and the obedience. Exercising my faith. Exercising my obedience. The situations and circumstances, they're going to change. You can guarantee that. You ain't going to always be on the bottom, and you ain't going to always be on the top. But that faith and that obedience, if it's always there, then it doesn't matter what's going on around you and I. God is going to bring us through. He's going to take care of us. All right, so verse number 16. All right, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. It came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. What does that mean? No breath left in him. He died. Remember I told you about the little trial and the big trial? Yeah. Mm-hmm. What if when she came to him, when he came to her, and he told her, go get me some water, she said, get your own water. That's what we do to the Lord. Lord come to us and say, I'm sending you this trial. You need to go to your knees and pray and ask for more grace so you can be more like me. And we tell somebody, I don't know where the lake is, but you need to go find it and jump in it. That's what we do. You see what I mean? How am I going to have faith? How am I going to have humility? How am I going to have all the attributes that God is wanting me to have if I'm going to be in heaven? The question is, do you want to be in heaven with somebody that tells you to go jump in the lake, or you want to be in heaven with somebody that humbles themselves and asks God to help them and give them grace to be like him even in that trial? Who do you want to be in heaven with? So, little trial, big trial. I mean, the first trial was huge to me, but God wouldn't have allowed that to come to her if he didn't know that she was prepared for that, that she didn't have the capability of being able to go through that, and she proved that. All right, and it came to pass after these things, the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. His sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. She said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and slay my son? Sometimes our faith can falter. It can get weak. Say you have, the best way I can explain it is, right now I got a whole bunch of faith. And a situation comes and I have less faith. I still have faith, but it's not a lot like it was. What I do in those situations is where the blessing lies also. Lord, I don't have, you know what? I think there is more of a blessing when my faith is low, but I'm still going to trust you, Lord. There's way more blessing in that than if I got all kind of faith and it just comes easy to me. When my faith is challenged, when it's difficult, when things do not seem, somebody is deceased in front of me. All right. Slay my son. He said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her house and carried him up into a loft, where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. Number 22, and the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. I'm just saying. Elijah had to have faith. The mother had to have faith. The trial came anyway. It's coming. But remember where my blessing is. Remember the faith and the obedience? That gave me the key, the access to the blessing. The faith and obedience is the blessing, and then it gives us access to even more blessing. If we'll put our faith and our trust and our confidence in God, God is going to take care of us. He's proven that over and over and over again. I don't care if you're saved or unsaved, you know that. God has been merciful and kind and good unto us. It's not the blessing that we need. It's understanding what it is and then what we are to do with that blessing. That's what's really important. God has all that we need. If we will just humble ourselves and seek his face, he'll take care of us. He'll watch over us. He'll protect us. He'll keep us safe from hurt, harm, and danger. And most importantly, he'll help us to make heaven our home. I desire your prayers that I will be what God would have me to be. I want to make heaven my home. And when I'm in trial, when I'm in test,